The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 3, Text Number 14, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 16th, 2008, in Christchurch, New Zealand.
5.3.14 Kova ihate parajito parajataya mayayana vasita padavya navritta matir vishya visha rayana vritta prakritir anupasita mahach charanaha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, the Savior of the whole universe. Dear Lord, unless one worships the lotus feet of great devotees, one will be conquered by the illusory energy, and his intelligence will be bewildered. Indeed, who has not been carried away by the ways of material enjoyment, which are like poison? Your illusory energy is unconquerable. No one can see the path of this material energy or tell how it is working. Purport. Maharaj Nabi was inclined to performing great sacrifices for begetting a son. The son might be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but such a material desire, be it great or insignificant, is brought about by the influence of Maya. A devotee does not at all desire anything for sense gratification. Devotion is therefore explained as devoid of material desires, anyabhilashata shunya. Everyone is subjected to the influence of Maya and entangled in all kinds of material desire. And Maharaj Nabi was no exception. Freedom from Maya's influence is possible when one engages in the service of the great devotees, Mahacharana Seva. Without worshipping the lotus feet of a great devotee, one cannot be freed from Maya's influence. Srila Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Payeche Keba. Who has been freed from Maya's clutches without serving the lotus feet of a Vaishnava? Maya is aparajita, and her influence is also aparajita, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7.14. Daivihiyesha gunamayi mama maya durajyaya. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. Only a devotee can surpass Maya's great influence. It was no fault on Maharaj Nabi's part that he wanted a son. He wanted a son like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the best of all sons. By the association of the Lord's devotee, one no longer desires material opulence. This is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majja 22:54. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastrikai, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. And Majja 22:51. Mahat Kripa Vina Kona Karme Bhakti Naya, Krishna Bhakti Dure Rahu Sangsara Nahi Chaya. If one is serious about escaping Maya's influence and returning home back to Godhead, one must associate with a sadhu devotee. That is the verdict of all scriptures. By the slight association of a devotee, one can be freed from the clutches of Maya. Without the mercy of the pure devotee, one cannot get freedom by any means. Certainly, a pure devotee's association is necessary in order to obtain the loving service of the Lord. One cannot be freed from Maya's clutches without Sadhu Sangha, the benediction of a great devotee. In Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.32, Prahlad Maharaj says, Nai shang matishtavad urukamadam grim Prishat yanartha pagamo yadartha mahiyasang padarajo bishekam nishkinshananam nabranita yavat.
One cannot become the Lord's pure devotee without taking the dust of a great devotee on his head.
Pada rajo bishekam.
A pure devotee is niskinshana. He has no material desire to enjoy the material world. One has to take the shelter of such a pure devotee in order to obtain his qualities. The pure devotee is always free from the clutches of Maya and her influence.
Vandeha Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha.
So it's crystal clear that without the mercy of a pure devotee, we can't get out of here. Actually, we are stuck in this material existence. So where will we get the association of such a devotee? By whose association, by who the dust from whose feet we can become liberated. Srila Prabhupada has very mercifully manifested himself in this material existence. Krishna sent him, actually. And he has very kindly created a whole society, ISKCON, where we find there are so many devotees who are totally sold out to Srila Prabhupada's mission, you see. So not only is Srila Prabhupada a great soul, by whose blessings, by whose mercy we can become saved, but also these Prabhupada Nugas, these devotees who fully dedicated themselves to Srila Prabhupada's mission, they are also great sadhus. And by their mercy, by their kindness, by their contact, by the dust from their feet, we can also become liberated. That's why I like to go to all these centers around the world. I get to associate with so many sadhus. I get, it's a great blessing for me to travel all over the ISKCON world and get the association of so many wonderful devotees who have given their lives for Prabhupada's mission. This saves me from the clutches of Maya, to get this wonderful association. So by the mercy of Prabhupada, there's a wonderful facility now for people all over the world to come to this movement, to get the association of saintly devotees, by whose influence one can become a saintly devotee of the Lord. Just like that verse in Bhagavad Gita, Sangat Sanjayate Kama. One develops one's consciousness according to the company that one keeps. So all we have to do is find out where there are sadhus, saintly devotees of the Lord, and associate with those devotees, hear from them, serve them. In this way, we become liberated from this material existence. This material existence, of course, is quite worthy of being liberated from. Or it's quite unworthy place to remain. Because it's completely against our grain. We are actually of the spiritual nature. Our actual qualities, we are eternal, we are full of knowledge and bliss. That is our actual nature. Right now, we are mistakenly identifying ourselves with that which is just the opposite. The actual nature of the self is Sat, Chit, Ananda. But we are foolishly misidentifying with that which is Asat, Achit, Nirananda. It's very incompatible. It's a very, very incompatible situation. As the old saying goes, trying to put a square peg in a round hole. It doesn't work. It doesn't fit. Or trying to put your feet in a pair of shoes which is too small. You can try to squeeze it in with this way and that way, but it never works. You'll never be comfortable in those shoes because they're too small for your feet. You see? So that's the position. We're trying to squeeze ourselves into some artificial identity, the body. I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm Australian, I'm New Zealander, I'm American, this and that. It's very, very incompatible situation. So the beauty of this ISKCON, this Krishna consciousness movement, this Sangha that Prabhupada has given us, it is the most powerful Sangha for delivering us from this false conception. You see? Completely delivering us from this false conception. Prabhupada has introduced completely transcendental concept. In India, they could so much misunderstanding. They used to say, oh, this Swami Bhaktivedanta is spoiling Hinduism. They would criticize how you can create sannyasis and brahmins out of these mlechas. You see, this Swami Bhaktivedanta, he's no good what he is doing. But Prabhupada said, I am increasing the number of Hindus. Of course, we don't normally call ourselves Hindus, but Prabhupada sometimes would describe us as Hindus in that way. So, this bodily conception that only Indians can be sannyasis, only Indians can be Brahmins because they are born with a proper caste, it's completely bogus. Completely bogus. It goes against the scriptures. Completely against the scriptures. There's that shloka that even a dog eater, if he becomes qualified Brahmin, he can perform all the Vedic rituals, all the Vedic rites, if he is Vaishnava, you see. But even someone is highly qualified in doing all the Vedic rites, if they are not a Vaishnava, they are not fit, they are not qualified. So that is the actual qualification. Become Vaishnava. Qualification for becoming Brahman, becoming sannyasi, for becoming guru, these have nothing to do with the material body. Simply one has to be fixed in the science of Krishna consciousness, that's all. Simple thing. I'm not the body. That means on all levels, I'm not the body. The body is not a consideration for one's qualification to be worthy of getting their association. So this vision of Srila Prabhupada has the power to bring about complete peace and happiness on this planet. He is the one spiritual master in the history who had the vision, who had the potency, who had the willingness to sacrifice his own well-being, his own personal comforts, sacrificing everything just to make this humble attempt to carry out the mission of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. He was the only follower of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati who had the courage, the vision, and the shakti to fully implement the teachings of Bhaktisiddhanta as a worldwide culture. The amazing thing is, Prabhupada told us in Atlanta that he thought he would be a failure. That was amazing to hear. He gave this example. He said that my godbrothers went to Britain for preaching, and they met with one Lord Zetland. And Lord Zetland, he was the governor of Bengal during British rule, so he was familiar with Vedic culture. So he's a British lord. He's thinking, I can be doubly certified. I can be an Indian Brahmin and a British lord. That'll give me double status. You see. So he asked Prabhupada's godbrother, Swamiji, can you make me a Brahmin? Prabhupada's godbrother said, yes, I can make you a Brahmin. You just have to give up illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. No problem, I can make you a Brahmin. Lord Zetland immediately replied, impossible. So Prabhupada told us that day, that morning in Atlanta, 1975, he said, I was thinking that when I came to your country, as soon as I tell them, no illicit, you have to give up illicit sex, you have to give up meat eating, you have to give up intoxication, you have to give up gambling, they immediately say, please go home. But I thought, let me try. So Prabhupada actually was thinking he would be rejected. That his message would be rejected. But he thought, but let me try. So that trying of Srila Prabhupada against what he thought was an impossible situation, that trying is what saved us. You understand? So the devotee of the Lord, you see, he is determined to try even that which is seemingly impossible. He's willing to try. So Prabhupada has done the impossible. He created this worldwide movement. Now he has given us also a mission impossible to make the whole world Krishna conscious. That is the instruction that he has given us, to make the whole place Krishna conscious. It seems impossible, doesn't it? With all these slaughterhouses, these brothels, this, you know, horrible atrocities against our mother, the cow, and against children, against women. I mean, it's just a horrible nightmare going on. The leaders don't know what they're doing. They're like chickens with their heads cut off. They have no conception of how to manage the human society in a progressive way, even for economic necessities. They based a whole civilization on petroleum. It's a stupid, idiotic basis for the culture. Something that's running out, and the whole society is based on it. Instead of basing it on the land and the cows, they're basing it on petroleum. It's a completely insane situation. So what is required to actually straighten out this quagmire that the world has gotten itself into by the misleadership? What is required to actually straighten it out? Srila Prabhupada is the only teacher who has the vision how to actually bring the whole world into perfect Vedic civilization. He's the only teacher who has that vision. He understands fully well how to bring the whole world back into Vedic civilization. So we stick to this pathway that Srila Prabhupada has given us, and we qualify ourselves to be his pure representatives. Then we will see that more and more and more we will have an influence on this planet. Prabhupada very much wants us to qualify ourselves to properly represent him. This means we have to become ideal devotees in all respects. It means we have to work together as a family. Krishna consciousness is not do your own thing program. Prabhupada told us that we are meant to work together cooperatively. So that means we have to tolerate. I mean, I have my faults, you have your faults, you see. We have to tolerate and work together as a team. Just like even in married life, how can a marriage stick How can it become successful as a lifetime thing? Well, the husband and wife have to tolerate each other. You see, like Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to say, show me a successful marriage whose middle name is not compromise. So we have to learn how to work together as a worldwide family. You see, we have to tolerate. Sometimes you have your opinion and I have my opinion. Does that mean we break? No. Papa told us, in spiritual life, sometimes there is difference of opinion. But because they are both thinking how to serve Krishna, you see, that is spiritual, that difference of opinion. So we should never let difference of opinion cause us to become inimical to each other. We have to see the big picture. That here are these devotees, they're all wanting to serve Prabhupada's mission. Now, that's more important than their different opinion of how we should serve Prabhupada's mission, you see. The most important thing is these devotees have all agreed that we want to serve the mission of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. That's the overriding thing to see. Now that they disagree on this detail and that detail, those are minor points, actually. They're less important than the fact that we're all agreeing to serve Prabhupada's mission. By the influence of Kali, what happens sometimes is we get so caught up in our difference of opinion, we forget that we're all on the same table. We're all trying to serve Prabhupada's mission. And we cause that, the focusing on the negative side, to break our relationships. That's Kali getting in to try to break the movement apart. That's all it is. The personality of Kali is trying to get in, just like he got in to Sringi. He got into the mind of Sringi 5,000 years ago and broke apart the Vedic civilization, you see. It just took one stupid Brahmin kid to bring down the whole Vedic culture, you see. He set off a chain reaction. So we have to be very careful. We don't want to be followers in the footsteps of Sringi. We have to be very, very careful how we conduct ourselves in this Krishna consciousness movement. Because we are meant to undo what Sringi did. That is what, as Prabhupada's followers, we are meant to do the reverse. Sringi dismantled the Vedic civilization. We are meant to try to bring it back together now as a worldwide civilization. Now, for those people who say it's impossible, I don't accept that, because I have Vedic evidence to say that it is possible and it will happen. It's stated by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Sajjana Durjana Pangu Jadda Andagana Prema Vanyaya Dubaila Jagatera Jana, that this Krishna consciousness movement, it is a prema tsunami, and it will inundate this entire world, drowning everyone, whether they are lame, invalid, blind, pious or impious, it doesn't matter. Everybody become inundated in this prema vanyaya, this tidal wave of Krishna consciousness movement. So it's not a question of if it's going to happen or not. It's simply a question of when. Will it be, 5,000 years from now? 500 years from now? How about 5 minutes from now? Anything can happen, because Krishna is the supreme controller. As Prabhupada told Tamal Krishna when he was a brahmachari, Tamal Krishna Das Brahmachari, he said, Krishna can give you all of America within 1 minute, but what you will do with it? You see? That's the problem. Whatever little power or money or influence we get, we become corrupted. In our society, we use so many devotees who got some followers, they got some money, they get surrounded by some beautiful women, and boom, finished. They don't even chant Hare Krishna anymore. You see? So the real thing is, my understanding is this, The real thing we have to do if we want this movement to spread is we have to become qualified to lead the world. Prabhupada explains that a Brahmin is the spiritual master of the human society. That means all of you who are second initiated, you're supposed to be qualified that if you were the last ISKCON person on this planet, you could lead the whole world personally, become the leader of the entire human society, spiritual leader for the whole world. That's what it means to be a Brahmin, according to Prabhupada's statement. He is the spiritual master of the entire human society. So how qualified should we be, you see? How qualified should we be? A little bit qualified, somewhat qualified, or should we become completely qualified Goswamis, masters of our senses, you see? The answer is obvious. We have to become masters of our senses. Vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udaro pasta vegam, etan vitanyo vishaheta dira, sarvam apimam, pritivim shashishyat. We're meant to become completely the masters of our senses. To the extent that we do that, to that extent, Krishna will give us leadership position on this planet. You see? We are meant to be the leaders of this planet. Prabhupada told it will happen, actually. In one letter, I have it on my screensaver, on my computer. Prabhupada says, one day you will be the leaders of the world. He said, it will not be difficult. Simply you have to act with sincerity and intelligence and Krishna will do everything. You see? It's Krishna who's the doer. We just have to be the instruments in the hands of Krishna. And then if we totally absorb ourselves, completely surrender ourselves with full sincerity and full intelligence, then there's no limit to what can happen for the inundation of this planet with Krishna consciousness. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur envisioned that day when all throughout the world the high court judges would be wearing tilak. So it's simply a question of when, not if. And the more we become purified, the more we can work together cooperatively as a team so that Prabhupada's full potency can act through us as a collective body, you see. That's where there's more power. Our collective body, you see, that there is energy, but then when you have the collective, the sankirtan, the collective sangha, that is synergy. So that's how we become. That's how we can actually successfully do. Even Prabhupada credited the British for being expert at ruling such a vast empire just because they worked together very cooperatively. A little tiny island. Such great influence they had all over the world, you see. Because of their cooperation. So if we can cooperate, even as a small body of devotees throughout the ISKCON world, if we can cooperate very, very tightly with each other in a very loving, sweet, intelligent way also, then there's nothing to stop us from actually becoming recognized throughout the world as the leaders of this planet, where they come to us and they say, please guide us how to run New Zealand in such a way that Prabhupada would be pleased, you see. You are living and following his teachings. We can understand he is the preeminent acharya in the world with the greatest vision of a perfected human society. So you are his dedicated followers. You kindly guide us now how to rule New Zealand in such a way that in complete harmony with the vision and the teachings of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. You see. We should qualify ourselves by sincere practice, by deeply entering into japamala, by developing quality relationships and doing everything we can to please Srila Prabhupada and his representatives, our temple presidents, our gurus, etc., our GBCs. We should do everything possible, at every minute, always be thinking, feeling, and acting in such a way that this vision of Srila Prabhupada of a worldwide Vedic civilization can become manifest as soon as possible. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Oh, different sanghas, yes.
And they may not always accept Srila Prabhupada.
They may what?
They may not always accept Srila Prabhupada.
They don't what?
They may not accept.
Yes, we want to encourage them. Actually, Prabhupada's vision was that all these other groups should work with him. That was, he wanted that all of the Gaudiya Math people, all the sannyasis, he tried again to work with his movement under the GBC's direction. That was his desire and his vision. But they never did it. And I don't think they'll ever do it. It's shown that they're very good at trying to take people away from us, or our movement. But as far as actually working under the GBC, as Prabhupada wanted them to, I don't know that one of them has agreed to do that. So we shouldn't worry so much about that. My clear realization, understanding in this regard is that by our sticking very closely to exactly what Prabhupada instructed us, then this ISKCON movement that is Prabhupada's embodiment will endure in the course of time as the leading spiritual influence on this planet. So we want to encourage those other persons who don't want to fully line up with Srila Prabhupada's teachings. I mean, we see the outside of ISKCON, the other Gaudiyas, they criticize Prabhupada how he taught us, even, you see. They criticize, Prabhupada, the way he taught you to do Mangalarti, it was wrong. They criticize him. It's not really, that's aparad against Srila Prabhupada. They criticize the way that he trained us to worship the deities. In so many ways, they criticize what Prabhupada has done. Who are they to criticize? A person who has accomplished more than any other Vaishnava in history. Who are they to criticize him? It's very offensive what they do. I mean, I've seen this directly in their writings. It's not hearsay. They will say, you shouldn't sing Gravastakam at Mangalarti because you're worshipping Gornitai. And here you're offering arti to Gornitai and you're singing a prayer to the spiritual master. They say, this is not correct. But this is what Prabhupada taught us to do. Who are we supposed to listen to? Or Srila Prabhupada or some person who's criticizing Srila Prabhupada? You see. So we don't want to create any unnecessary, battle with them. But they shouldn't try to mess with our movement. They shouldn't try to criticize what Prabhupada has done. That's very wrong for them to do that. We don't want to unnecessarily have any battle with them. It's nice they're chanting Hare Krishna. Let them chant. That's very good. But we shouldn't think that they have something to offer to us. When they're criticizing Prabhupada, they don't have anything to offer us. Not that we want to go to them for inspiration in siksha. When they're criticizing our founder Acharya's way of teaching us, we're not interested in them. In due course of time, we'll see that ISKCON will remain, and these other persons, these other groups that criticize Prabhupada, they will not live. They'll vanish into oblivion. But ISKCON will remain for 10,000 years at least on this planet. Prabhupada said his books will be the law books for the next 10,000 years. Those who criticize Prabhupada's books, they'll just vanish into oblivion. They'll be forgotten in the pages of history. So we don't want to unnecessarily criticize, but we stick with that great Vaishnava who was fully empowered by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur to make the entire planet Krishna conscious. Any other questions? Everyone satisfied? Happy now, ready to revolutionize the planet for Prabhupada? Yes?
I remember you said
What was that verse?
Surrender unto the spiritual
master. That's right.
Inquire from him. And you see that many people surrender and get the siksha.
Many people what?
Many people take the siksha.
Well, according to the Bhagavad Gita, wherever I'm getting siksha, I'm supposed to give service also. So, actually, the meaning of diksha is as I was discussing recently, diksha is a siksha contract. Wherever you're getting the most powerful siksha that connects you with Krishna, the intelligent thing to do is make a permanent relationship, a contract that I will take your siksha as my life and soul. That is called diksha. It's a siksha contract. So the intelligent thing is wherever you're getting the most powerful siksha to liberate you from the cycle of birth and death, the intelligent thing is to make your siksha contract there for a permanent ongoing relationship. Of being completely dedicated to taking instructions here, because this is the instructions that are liberating me. Any other questions? You had a question?
Your point on being united, sometimes it's difficult because we have our own lives and our own responsibilities. So you have everyone in pockets of...
So the first thing you said, what did she say, the first sentence, Manaji?
Responsibilities.
We have responsibilities.
Responsibilities and relationships.
So what's the question?
How to unite as one powerful family.
How to unite as one powerful family when we have individually, we have our responsibilities and all that.
Well, we should understand our ultimate responsibility is to become completely pure devotees of Krishna. That is our ultimate responsibility. And every other responsibility should be executed in such a way to attain that goal. I may have, family responsibilities, work responsibilities, different relationship responsibilities. So those should all be executed in such a way that they are part of my being responsible for achieving pure devotional service. Everything has to be dovetailed with the ultimate goal. That's the point. Does that help you? You don't give up the other responsibilities, but you execute them in such a way that they help you to fulfill your ultimate responsibility, which is to become a pure devotee of Krishna. You see? Like I have to earn a livelihood, I may have a wife, a husband, I have children, so many things, responsibilities. So I must execute those responsibilities in such a way that way of executing helps me to fulfill my ultimate responsibility. Because otherwise it's just shama evi kevalam. It's a useless waste of time. You see? It's just spoiling my life. If I'm fulfilling obligations in such a way it's pulling me away from Krishna, then I'm just like cutting my own throat, drinking poison knowingly. You see? So therefore we have to execute those relative responsibilities in such a way that they are dovetailed with the fulfilling the ultimate responsibility. Any other questions? Yes.
Before you mentioned Sringi, could you tell us a little more about that? Where is that story from?
What, Sringi?
Sringi.
Bhagavatam. Oh. Yeah, Srimad Bhagavatam. He was very being on the his it's described very nicely that Maharaj Parikshit, while wandering in the forest, became very, very thirsty, and There was the heart of the sage, and the sage was deep in meditation. He went in to ask some water from the sage. And the sage, being Father Sringi's father, was very deep in meditation. He didn't even come out of his meditation. So this disturbed Maharaj Parikshit very much. Actually, it would not have disturbed him, but this was an arrangement of the Lord, so the Kali Yuga could enter. He garlanded the sage with a snake, like in a sarcastic way. Here, no water here. Let me offer you a garland. But all we need is in meditation. See? So, pretty rude thing to do to a sage, garland him with a snake. So, Sringi was playing with his boyfriends, and he became aware of this, whether he saw it or whether by his powers. The Brahmins are very powerful formally. And he became aware of this, so he cursed the king to die within 7 days, being bitten by a snake bird. Now the father, when he heard about this, he was mortified what his son had done. He's an innocent thing. He realized, I should have given the king the water. He felt rightfully chastised, actually, by the saintly king for the neglecting. So when he heard what his son had done, he was absolutely mortified. This will completely ruin what you have done. What you have done, he was absolutely horrified by what his son had done. So Maharaj Parikshit had the power to overcome the curse, but instead of doing so, he took the opportunity. He said, "This is great. Now I can just focus on Krishna consciousness. Focus on going back to home, back to Godhead." He turned the kingdom over to his son. He sat down on the bank of the sacred river. All the sages came. There's a picture here, the famous picture in the Bhagavatam, Sat down on the bank of the sacred river. All right, now what to do? Now, just like in ISKCON, everyone has their opinion of how it should be done. So all the sages, every sage had their opinion. This is what you should do. This is what you should do. There was no consensus on what exactly Parikshit should do in this situation to prepare for being bit with a snake bird. It was unresolved what to do. But then when Shukadev shows up, everything was fun. Just as soon as Shukadev enters, everybody knows he's the one who's going to tell them. All conflicts were resolved as soon as Shukadev Goswami appeared on the scene. So everyone knew that he became very clear that this is an exalted personality. Even though he's a young boy, naked, Nagababa, going completely naked, young boy. But everyone, it was very, very clear to all the sages. There's no more argument, no more discussion. Shukadeva is the one who's now going to take charge of the situation. And so he spoke the Bhagavatam for 7 days. Any other questions? Yes?
It seems that in the Western society, we are very individualistic.
We're what?
Individualistic.
Yes, that's right. Very much so, yeah.
It seems that this ego that we have,
yes,
make us go for the superfluous and perhaps not essential.
Very.
And inauspicious.
Yes.
Self-centered like this, we have these ideas as individuals or groups, and we find it very difficult to take what is essential in Krishna consciousness. Working together, as you were saying.
It's difficult for us Westerners. Our nature is, we're very stubborn, individualistic.
Huh? Even in small issues, small differences.
Even small things.
Yeah.
We never to forgive or forget. We know the theory, we talk about, but we have the sins.
It's like a bunch of immature children who fight over the slightest thing, Mine! it's immaturity. It reminds me of the early days of the silent movies in the U.S. There was a popular series of movies about the Keystone Cops. I don't know if you ever saw the silent flicks, but these characters, they were always making fools of themselves, you know, because they were, and they're bumping heads with each other. The thief is robbing the bank, and the cops are just bumping into each other, and he's getting away with the loot because all the cops are bumping into each other. So that's kind of like this kind. We're kind of like the Keystone Cops, you know. We're bumping into each other, and you know, and Cully is getting away with murder. I mean, you know, and while we're so caught up in these little frivolous disputes, and failing to see that, you know, personality of Cully is, you know, devastating the whole scene. So we really have to, you know, stay focused on making a spiritual revolution. Instead of getting caught up in all these little political jimbo-jambos, whatever you want to call them, we really have to focus on revolutionizing the planet. You know, we were meant to create a revolution on this planet, and this is war, you see. In wartime, like in the U.S., you get the Democrats and the Republicans, but when there's a war, everybody's united. If the country is under attack, just like after 9/11, there was no more Democrats and Republicans. They were all singing, you know, our country, some America, America, on the steps of the Capitol building or whatever. So we really have to understand this is we're in a state of war. You see, we are trying. We have to revolutionize this planet to bring sanity to this planet. So whatever minor differences of opinion we have to put those aside and cooperate for the common goal of making a revolution. It's our duty to be spiritual revolutionaries, to revolutionize the planet. And we can't just be caught up in these little petty issues, you know. Should there be, you know, in the old days we used to argue, well, how many chickpeas at breakfast are you allowed to eat? Prabhupada said 7 is the max. If you eat 8, then you're going to fall down to illicit sex. I mean, no. I remember when some of the most ridiculous things at ISKCON. It's like we could write a humor book about the ISKCON, you know. I remember I was at a Ratha Yatra festival. Eating is simply wonderful, you know. And some brahmachari comes up and he said, "Stop." He said, "That's a dhoti whitener. If you eat a sweet, your brahmachari life will be finished." Actually, I ate that sweet. This is ridiculous, you know. And but shortly after that, he was wearing white, and I was wearing saffron for 14 years. But so, you know, there's so many silly things that go on in ISKCON. Everybody thinks they're God, you know. We bring it into ISKCON sometimes. So, well, we really have to realize that, you know, I'm not God. Krishna is God, you know. It's the basic thing. I'm not God. If everybody can just remember in ISKCON that I am not God, Krishna is God, then all our problems will be solved. But the trouble is we're still thinking, I'm God. You see? Yes?
If, like the comparison to war, then the ammunition is understanding what Prabhupada has written, particularly in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the ammunition. The sentiment of trying to cooperate remains just sentiment.
We won't know how to do it.
That's right. Without the knowledge.
That's right. As Prabhupada said in that one quote, he said, sincerity and intelligence. In other words, sincerity alone is not enough. You can sincerely go on making mistakes all day saying, "I'm sorry, Prabhu, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm very sincerely apologizing for making one mistake after another mistake after another mistake." But why don't you get intelligent and learn how not to make the mistakes, you see? And that, for that intelligence, we require the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know what I mean? You see? So, what one book did Prabhupada bring with him on the ship? Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have to understand the preeminence in terms of our study. I mean, devotees ask me, can I read this book, that book? You know, they come out with so many new publications now that Prabhupada didn't give us, and I'm not against that, but we have to understand there is curricular and there is extracurricular activities. When I was in high school, there was so many extracurricular activities. There was the football team, there was the cheerleading squad, there was the debate squad. Those things you did if you had your academics together. But you wouldn't do those things to the cost of your academics, because then you won't even graduate. So we have our curriculum, Prabhupada's books, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is our curriculum. If one has mastered this curriculum, then you can add other things. But first, we must master this curriculum. And this is why I encourage my disciples. First of all, they say, can I read this book, that book? Have you read Prabhupada's books thoroughly? You see, if you thoroughly read and understood Srila Prabhupada's books, you see. If you haven't done that, then let these other books wait. First of all, you become very, very knowledgeable and expert in understanding what's in Prabhupada's books, you see. And especially, as you pointed out, Bhagavatam. This is the class that Prabhupada established. I remember back in 72, when Prabhupada established the Srimad Bhagavatam class in the form we have it now. He, at that time, devotees were moving into our temples in droves. We had so many people joining, and nobody knew anything, really, about what was going on. It was Prabhupada compared it to you're trying to make the burfi and you keep pouring more milk in, it never boils down. He actually said, whatever devotees we have now, the most important thing is they should be trained very, very nicely in this philosophy. He said, boil the milk until it becomes thick and sweet. So this boiling process, this especially is the Srimad Bhagavatam class. So we encourage everyone to come as far as possible every day, if you can work it into your schedule and study the Bhagavatam here. If not, read it at home. But the most, it's more powerful in the association of devotees. Somehow, but so everyone should be studying carefully this Bhagavatam here in the temple, ideally, but everyone should come to the lotus feet of Krishna, which are manifested in the Srimad Bhagavatam. First and second cantos, Prabhupada said, are the two lotus feet of the Lord. And then gradually you go up the Lord's body until the smiling face of the 10th canto. And then the 11th and 12th, and would be, maybe that's the peacock feather, I don't know. But this is very important, Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharmak projita kaitava trapadamo nirmatsaranam satam vejam vastavamastu shivadabhanta patrayon mulanam shinimad bhagavate mahamane krite king vaparayishvaraha sadya hridya varujyate kritite bhishu shu shu vishtachana. Completely rejecting all religious activities that are materially motivated, this Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is reality distinguished from illusion. Forget the rest of the verse. But this truth uproots the threefold miseries. That's another part of it. This Bhagavatam compiled by the sage Vyasadeva in his maturity is sufficient in itself for self-realization. What need is there for any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes fully established within his heart. I mean, what stronger recommendation could there be for hearing the Bhagavatam? If you'd like to read this verse, it's the first canto, first chapter, text number 2. This Bhagavatam will, if heard attentively and submissively, the Supreme Personality of God will become fully established. Of course, he's already there, but what does that mean? It means you'll realize him. You'll be connected with him. That's what it means. You'll be connected, fully connected with Krishna within your heart if you regularly hear this Bhagavatam submissively. So, there's nothing like this Bhagavatam. It's so sweet, it's so powerful, it's so unlimitedly wonderful. So yes, Prabhupada said that all initiated devotees must attend morning and evening classes. But at least we can attend the morning class. It's
far as possible. If we can work it into our work schedule, our study schedule, and whatever. The more we can come together as a family and study Prabhupada's books, that will be our strength. That will be our strength. Any other points, questions? Everyone satisfied now? Ready to revolutionize your hearts? Ready to revolutionize the planet for Prabhupada? Let's go make a revolution now for Papa. Starting right here in this dirty, rotten place, you see, by hearing the Bhagavatam and then spreading the Bhagavatam to everyone. But here in the Singo, Hridari in the Singo, Prabhupada said, the translation for this is, may Lord Nrisimhadev dwell within my heart, killing all my sinful propensities, so that my heart may become completely clean, and so that I can spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Bahir Nisinga, Shridaya Nisinga, Nisinga within, Nisinga without. That is our prayer. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.